professor at Texas A&M AgriLife Research in Texas Tech in Lubbock. Today I'm going to be presenting to you a project that I started when I first started in 2015, and it's something that I have really devoted quite a bit of my time and passion to, and like we've been talking about, it is related to potassium. So this research is evaluating several different sites throughout the Cotton Belt. Single-year sites is how we're going to refer to them, and I'll explain that to you here in a minute. But before I go on, I would like to acknowledge my co-authors, Galen Morgan, Randy Bowman, Trey Cutts, Darren Dodds, Keith Edmondson, Hunter Frame, Danny Frommy, Bill Robertson, and Bob Nichols. All right, so we've been talking about potassium. I'm not sure how much of this introduction I really need to give to you since we've heard about potassium all day, but it is one of the nutrients that I feel like maybe hasn't been paid as much attention to. And as we just heard, there is the case where if we're not applying potassium, eventually we're going to get to the point where we have mined our soils of our K, especially with an increase in yields. We have an increase in the demand or the uptake of that potassium. And it is a deficiency symptom that is becoming more common across the Cotton Belt. As was just mentioned, with modern varieties, we have increased yields and, in many cases, faster fruiting. It's not to say that the demand per bale that's being produced is necessarily going to change, but there's that total amount of K that's being taken up can increase. And when we have a potassium-deficient plant, as we heard in our first talk, they are going to be more prone, more susceptible to foliar diseases. The picture on the bottom right was taken by Galen Morgan, I believe, in 2012. But in the back here, let's see if I can find my mouse. In the back here, we have our untreated potassium plot. And then here we have one that received 120 kilograms per hectare of K2O. And we're seeing some verticillium issues here in the back where potassium was not applied. So increase in yield, this top figure here, from 1984 until recent, we've definitely seen an increase in U.S. cotton yield. What's sad is that we really aren't seeing much of a change, at least not here recently, in the amount of fertilizer that we're applying. And this goes back to the point that was just made, that maybe it is time that we reevaluate some of those nutrient requirements throughout the Cotton Belt. The objectives of this project were to evaluate the impact of application methods and rates of potassium on cotton yield, quality, and return on investment. And then once we have 3 years worth of this data, we would like, and this is the third year, we would like to reevaluate our soil testing methods and recalibrate those. When the study started in 2015, I believe there were 13 locations. After 2015, we divided those up into what we consider single-year sites and multi-year sites. And after I wrap up, then Hunter Frame will present to you on the data that's been collected from the multi-year sites. The multi-year sites, they go back on the same location every year. With the single-year sites, we find a new location in the same general area or region. And the blue stars are our single-year sites. The yellow are the multi-year. Our treatments, as I mentioned, are application method using a dry muriate of potash, 0060. This is being broadcast applied and then incorporated to about 3 inches. And then we have a liquid application of 0015, which is still KCL, but it's just a liquid formulation of that. And it's being knife injected in a 4x6 spacing from the seed furrow. The rates that we're applying are 0, 40, 80, 120, and 160 pounds per acre. All plots are receiving equivalent amounts of both nitrogen and phosphorus. And fertilizer, the potassium fertilizer, was applied 2 to 4 weeks prior to planting. The variety in 2015 that was planted across the belt was Delta Pine 1321. In 2016 and 2017, we planted Delta Pine 1522. We are taking soil cores to a 24-inch depth, 0 to 6, 6 to 12, and 12 to 24. And then all samples collected from those locations are being extracted using Malic-3 extraction. We're also looking at leaf cake, first bloom, lint yield, and fiber quality. Today I'm going to focus on the lint yield component of that. So to start out, we have our soil potassium levels in 2015. These are in parts per million, and these are all of our locations. However, with the yellow star, that indicates a single year site. So in 2015, our locations that tested below what that critical level is of potassium would have been Virginia, Mississippi, and then one of our locations in Texas in Williamson County. It's important to note here we have our 0 to 6 inch depth is the green bar, the yellow is 6 to 12, and then the gray is 12 to 24. And for most of our locations, as we go down in depth, our potassium concentrations decrease. And that may go back to why we are seeing some responses in locations where in our 0 to 6 inch depth, we shouldn't be seeing response, but we are seeing lower concentrations at that deeper depth. In 2016, our locations that were below that threshold were Virginia, once again, Texas, and Williamson County, North Carolina, and Alabama. And that same trend here, for the most part, as we go down in depth, we are seeing a decrease in potassium concentrations. Same thing with 2017, North Carolina, Mississippi, and Alabama are our three locations that are testing below the critical level. All right, moving on to lint yield. This is our two Texas locations in Wharton and Williamson County in 2015 and 2016. We'll start here at the bottom with Williamson County in 2015 and 2016. In both of these years, this location did have a positive response or significant differences between treatments. And the solid bar is going to be our injected application, with the dashed line being the broadcast application. And for the most part, at these four site years, we do see a similar trend between these two application methods. And for our Texas and Oklahoma locations, which were both irrigated, we have 2016 data for Oklahoma and 2015 and 2016 for Lubbock. In 2015, we did see a response in Lubbock, but not in 2016. And in 2017, we did not see a response in any of our three locations, Lubbock, Williamson, or Oklahoma. For Arkansas, Louisiana, and Mississippi in 2015 and 2016, we did not see a significant response to potassium applications, either the injected or the broadcast. In most cases, they follow very similar trends between the two application methods. 2017, same thing, no significant differences between treatments here. In Arkansas, you are seeing a little bit more separation between that injected application and the broadcast application. For Alabama and Virginia in 2015 and 2016, we did not see a response at either location in 2015, but in 2016, we did see a response in Virginia. That was a pretty rough year from what I've been told. Lint yields were quite low, but there was a response to added potassium for both the injected and the broadcast application. And here we have 2017, much greater yields in Virginia this year compared to the previous year, and we did not see a significant treatment effect for either location in 2017. So real quickly in summary, it seems as though where we have lower yielding site years, so Williamson County in both 15 and 16, and then in Virginia in 15 and 16, that we're seeing a response when there is a stress event and when yields are lower. I didn't discuss much at all about the fiber quality, but just real quick, at those locations where we do have a responsive site or a response of significant treatment effect and we have potassium concentrations that are less than the critical level. We are seeing some differences in microNair, with microNair increasing as potassium levels increase, and also a improvement in strength with an increase in potassium rate. And it does appear that with the liquid, the injected application of potassium, that we're seeing a more consistent pattern or response to that application. And moving forward, I think that we've been right on saying that we do need to reevaluate this. I think the inconsistency is what's most troubling to me, is that we do see responses at locations where soil tests are lower, but then we also have seen some in higher concentration tests. So looking at newer varieties, I heard earlier today Mick Baines talked about the G by E by M interaction, and I think that's something that we need to try to do when it comes to nutrients as well. Look at the genetics, the environmental effect, and the variety and the management practices that are being used. And then also we've talked some about root dynamics. So some of these locations, Oklahoma and Arkansas, have some pretty high salt sodium concentrations, and so that may be inhibiting root development, root growth, and with that you could have a reduction in potassium uptake or seeing that response. So I think there's still quite a bit for us to look at and to evaluate when it comes to potassium and nutrients as a whole. And with that, I will take any questions. Yes, sir. Mm-hmm. We have not looked at any early season. We've done some bacterial blight work at other locations, but that is a great research idea, Dr. Woodward. I think we should pursue that.